Love Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. I guess I'm reconnected now. They didn't give me a warning sign. But anyways, welcome to Talk That Talk, Tweety and LJ. I don't know if Tweety's going to be on today or not. I think he's supposed to be. His mom's dealing with some medical issues, so he may be occupied at the hospital with her. So send our prayers out to Tweety mom and, you know, the doctors and the staff of the hospital that are taking care of her. Now, as we proceed to give you what you need, really what's going on right now in the sports world, as you can see based on the title of the show, if you saw the title of the show, is $100 million for everybody. And that's basically what's going down in the NBA is, not everybody's not literally getting $100 million, but pretty much if you're a free agent right now and you have and you've been in the NBA for more than a day or two, I mean, you're getting broke off. I mean, Dellavedova got what, 4 years, 30-some-odd million? Three or 4 years, 30-some-odd million. No disrespect, Dellavedova. Timofey Mozgov got a 4 years, $64 million deal. Nicholas Batum over $100 million. What's the kid's name? I'm drawing blanks now. There was definitely more people that went over $100 million. Even Chandler Parsons, yo, who is his agent, son? Because I need to I need to work for his agent, or his agent needs to write a book, because his agent, I mean, he. I tell you, he out there giving him the game. He got Chandler Parsons. Chandler Parsons didn't get a max contract when he played for the Mavericks, but he got a significant raise from his first several years in the league. And he got even a larger raise this year. Well, I don't say a larger raise, but he definitely got a raise this year. Because the Mavericks were not going to give him a maximum contract. I mean, one, because he didn't play like a max contract player while he was in Dallas. He had some injuries to deal with. But even when he was on the court, he didn't perform at a maximum salary player, or as you would think one would. Who else got a lot of money? Marvin Williams got a lot of money. Dwayne Wade right now, the Miami Heat guard, I guess he's a free agent now. Going through it right now. You know, Dwayne Wade for a while, especially in particular when the years with LeBron and Chris Bosh. I mean, Chris Bosh is still there, but he had a lot of injuries over the last few years, and it was rare for him to play. He played, I think, 74 games this year, which is pretty, you know, he missed 8 games, not a lot. But in the past, you know, he's probably, most seasons, he's played about 2/3 of the games over the last few, probably 4 or 5 years. That was the norm. And in the past, he's taken pay cuts. Let's say he's taken less money to allow the Heat flexibility to sign other free agents, you know, to help to increase their likelihood that they will win the NBA championship. And it worked for a few years. It worked twice, obviously, because, you know, they won with LeBron when LeBron was with the Cavs. And they've been able to sign some good players over the last few years. But last year he signed a 2-year, $40 million deal. He opted out. And the word on the street is that they're not happy with Miami because he doesn't want to play for less than $20 mil a year. And I believe they said the Heat offered him about $10 million a year. And I wanted to get Tweety's thoughts on this because I think this would have been pretty interesting because of the fact that this is one thing that I hear a lot in sports when it comes to athletes and contracts and contract negotiations. Athletes are one of the few employees that I can think of in the world where people consistently think that you should take less money to help out the organization. If you can think of another one, please let me know. Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, wherever. Or you can turn it up either way. And let me know, because I can't think of another place in the world where people constantly think that you should take less money to help the organization. And in some cases, is it the right thing? Should you do it? Yes. And I say yes because it becomes one of those situations to where you need to take less money or you'll be completely unemployed. You know, so in those situations, I can understand as an athlete saying, hey, you know what, I'll take a little bit of a pay cut, but at least I'm going to be bringing in some money, because some money is better than no money. So I can understand it in those situations, but the overwhelming majority of situations, I can't understand it. I can't even believe that people would open their mouths and think that that is a viable option for an athlete to suggest that they take less money to help the organization. Because what Dwayne Wade is finding out right now is it may be our peas and cream when you're in your prime and they want to win championships and they're saying, well, take this, why don't you take about $5-6 million or a couple million less a year, and we're going to bring in so-and-so and so-and-so, and we're going to make this work. We're going to win some championships. Then you do it. You're in your prime, so you're getting your bread, and you want that loyalty back from the team. As soon as you get a little bit over the hill and you still want all that money, but you are no longer playing at the level of a player who deserves X amount of dollars or who would, under normal circumstances, get X amount of dollars. And then you're upset because what they looking at you and say, hey, it's business, baby. So it's business. We can't sign you. You on the back end. We can't get you what you want. And we got this young cat over here who in the case of the Heat is Hassan Whiteside, who they gave a big contract, their max contract to. You know, they can't, the Heat could not afford to pay him. They signed Goran Dragic to a max deal last offseason. They can't afford all of them and still pay Dwayne Wade $20 million a year. So Dwayne Wade is finding out the hard way. I mean, and I'm sure I'm going to take a wild guess that Dwayne Wade understands that the NBA is a business. But you know what? When it comes to being the leader of an organization, it's all about selling dreams. You got to sell a dream. And the dream that sold Dwayne Wade, take a little bit less money. I wasn't in those meetings, so I'm not sure. Maybe they might have told him, hey, you take care of us right now, we'll take care of you. They might not have. But they sold him the dream. You take less money, you get some championships. He bought it. He thought they was going to take care of him on the back end. They came in with that old slogan. It's just business, baby. Nothing personal. Just business, baby. So I don't know if Dwayne Wade is going to end up back with the Heat. He's taking offers or taking meetings with a couple of other teams, some of them who have already filled his position. Not with players of his caliber, but however, the need has been fulfilled for a cheaper option. The Knicks was one of the teams that he was talking to. They have filled their presumably starting shooting guard slot with Courtney Lee. He didn't get a very big contract. I do not remember numbers off the top of my head. But he obviously he's not Cody. Cody at least not getting $20 million a year, so that's not going to happen. But so, you know, we'll see what happens. But you know, that's always an interesting situation to me, because the player a lot of times will get criticized for being all about the money. I mean, it's insane to me how every day, I would say it doesn't matter who, even if you're a newspaper writer and your value is $150,000 a year, you mean to tell me you're gonna take a significant cut of what you work just to help out the organization, knowing that the minute you can't provide that level of quality of writing, whether it's for whatever reason, maybe you lose access to the players, you know, you write one bad article, upset a bunch of people, so people don't trust you anymore. So the quality of your, or the substance within your content is not the same as it was previously. I mean, you don't think that company is going to get rid of you because that's in their best interest? I guess what I'm trying to say is when it's business, you try to look out for each other. But at the end of the day, as an employee, in my mind, you must always understand that at the end of the day, that business is going to do what's in the best interest of that business 99% of the time and not what's in your best interest. I mean, if your best interests go hand in hand, hey, you know what I'm saying? We are kicking back, pimping, pulling up, everything like that. But as soon as your business interests don't align with theirs, then y'all got issues, and you're going to, the overwhelming majority of the time, you're going to lose because they're bargaining from a position of power. That's why Dwayne Wade, if Miami doesn't want to give him $20 million and he wants to play in Miami, he's going to have to take less than $20 million. Because everything was all good when they was on the same, when Dwayne Wade's interest aligned with the Miami Heat's interest, everything was all good. But now that they don't, because Miami Heat said, hold on, player, you ain't worth $20 million a year no more. I mean, I got it, you know. You mean a lot to this franchise. But, you know, I'm sure they said, hey, you know what, we saw what the Lakers did. Lakers gave all that money to Kobe, and Kobe was close to, I don't want to say garbage, but, you know, he was like a half-eaten steak that was not cooked to the, you know, he wasn't as good as, anyways, it made it hard for the Lakers to attract free agents. One, because Kobe was older and was shooting the ball a million times. Two, he was, you know, cutting into the salary cap quite a bit because of that huge number that they gave him, basically saying, in my opinion, they gave him the money because of, you know, what he had done for the franchise over his career. And Miami Heat, clearly not interested in doing that for Dwayne Wade, not to the tune of $20 million a year. I mean, they might still keep him on the payroll because he was a good player last year, but to the tune of $20 million a year, it don't look like that's what that is for Pat Riley. He ain't trying to play that game. Who else made it? I saw a lot of stuff on the internet, Twitter in particular. People feel some type of way about Michael Conley being the largest contract in NBA history. Now, of course, no disrespect to Mike Conley, but Mike Conley is not close to being one of the best players ever in the NBA. And I mean that with all due respect. I mean, you know, he's not I'm going to venture to guess Mike Conley's probably not one of the top 150 basketball players to ever play in the NBA. There's no disrespect to him. There's just been a lot of quality players in the NBA over the time. I mean, right now, you can make an argument. He may not be top five at his position in the NBA right now. That's neither here nor there. He got all this money. People are upset. Oh, you know, how am I trying to get the biggest contract in NBA history? You got to understand the game. You got to understand the game that you're playing and how it works, right? So, in professional sports, NBA in particular, they have a salary cap. So teams can only offer so much money. right? So because they can only offer so much money, got to get over. Because they can only offer so much money, it changes based on how much the salary cap is. Right? So if you have a smaller salary cap, then the size of the contract that you can sign is the size of the contract you can sign is going to be smaller. Which is, you know, think about back when Jordan was playing. I think Jordan last couple of years he was able to get like those seasons where I think 1 year he made like $33 million and 1 year he made like $36 million. But you know, the salary cap drives all of that. What the maximum contract is. So it's not a matter of Mike Conley getting the biggest contract ever, saying that he is the best player ever. It's a matter of he became a desirable free agent at the perfect time. You know, if he was a free agent last year, the Memphis Grizzlies probably would have gave him, I think last year the max rate was going around like 85 mil, somewhere like that, whatever it was for 4 years, 80-some-odd mil, 90-some-odd mil. He would have probably got that. No harm, no foul. You know, people would have probably said great signing for Memphis, bringing him back into the fold. He's been very good for the organization, blah, blah, blah. But because he became a free agent in a season where the NBA's new television contract started to kick in, and the salary cap just grew exponentially, which means that the maximum contract that a player could get grew exponentially as well. So it looks like Michael Conley is, you know, the Grizzlies are saying he's the best player ever, but they're not really saying that. They're saying that this is our point guard. He was going to get a max contract no matter what year he became available as a free agent. It just so happened that he became available as a free agent in the right season. I mean, if you've been paying attention, that's what they've been talking about in the media. The reason why LeBron has been signing only signed a 2-year contract or whatever with Cleveland, said that he can capitalize on his ability to earn money, because as the salary cap increases, what the Cavs can pay LeBron James increases. So that's something to think about. It's not necessarily saying Mike Conley is the best player ever. Is that what the total value was allowed of a max contract 5 years ago has changed and it has increased. So that's what he's getting. He's getting a max deal. He just got a max deal at the right time. On the opposite end of that, as I was speaking about when I first started to my millions, they, you know, 100 million, they give millions to everybody. The reason guys who I would say people are very surprised are getting the kind of paydays they're getting, the opposite end of that is that because the salary cap increased so much in the NBA's collective bargaining agreement, NBA teams have to spend a certain amount of money. And in my mind, part of that is a control measure to prevent teams from underpaying players. So with that control measure in place, if you have to spend $85 million, hey, you got to pay somebody. I mean, the salary cap increased significantly from last year. So you have to get to that 85% mark, you have two options. You can sign free agents and give them a bunch of money, or you got to pay the players on your team a bunch of money. I'm not sure how that works if you have guys under contract and you all that kind of stuff. I don't know how that works. But that being said, that's why some of these guys that, you know, maybe I would say you were surprised by their numbers as far as their contracts. 4 years, $64 million for Timothy Mozgov. I'm trying to think who was. There was somebody else who got. I mean, Chandler Parsons is the one that blows me away more than anything. I mean, Mozgov can say I'm 7 foot. You can't go and buy a 7-footer. I mean, you know, they ain't born every day. But what Chandler Parsons does in the NBA, there's more guys in the NBA that do that. And I definitely would say you can easily make the argument that there's plenty of guys who do it better than he does. I mean, you know, Chandler Parsons, the maximum deal with the Grizzlies. That one is a come on, son. Now, I mean, I just don't think Chandler Parsons is a maximum player. My personal opinion, but it is what it is. Now, another, with all the NBA free agency going on and all these players getting contracts, probably I would say the thing that excites NBA players the most is probably their agents. The NBA contracts are guaranteed. So if your contract says you're going to make $70 million, you're going to make $70 million. Of course, you got to pay taxes. But, I mean, it's not like NFL contracts where, you know, you see a guy sign for $100 million and he got, what did Andrew Luck sign for? $140-something million, I believe. He got 87 guaranteed. The chances of him seeing all 140-some-odd million of that contract, slim to none. That's just how it works in the NBA. NFL. The way NFL players make their money is guaranteed money and signing bonuses. Just go over the history of contracts. Most guys in the NFL do not get the value of that contract because they don't end up playing out that contract because NFL contracts not guaranteed. You got to get cut by a certain day, yada, 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 all this good stuff. So when all these numbers start coming out for players, including some of the ones that I can remember off the top of my head that shocked people, NFL players took to the Nets and basically, you know, I would call it hating. You know, ain't no need for you to be out here watching another man pocket, but whatever. I call it hating a little bit. They ain't on the contracts of NBA players. But, you know, the NFL always been like that, where, you know, the NBA players, NFL players have, I mean, outside of hockey, you know, you see them hockey dudes, you know, like they still getting them 7-Eleven checks, you know, 7 years, $28 million, or you know, that's old school NBA. You can't even do it like that no more. But the NFL players are hating a little bit. And I think one of the biggest differences that the NFL players have to take into consideration that's different between NFL and the NBA and even Major League Baseball is that those sports, in my mind, are more player-driven leagues. You know, like the Cowboys are a perfect example. People going to always, for whatever reason, I'm a Cowboys fan, so I may be a little bit biased. People always care about the Cowboys. Cowboys sucked last year. And, you know, you mentioned the Cowboys. That could be the lead story on SportsCenter or whatever sports show you got out there. And people will tune in and listen, whether they like the Cowboys or not. They're going to hate or they're going to love it. And you might not know half of the players on their team. I'm not even talking about by name. I mean, there's famous players, there's top of the line players in the NFL that could walk right by you today. You probably wouldn't know who they were. But if you watch sports, I bet you recognize Matthew Dellavedova. And again, I'm not trying to knock Matthew Dellavedova. What I'm saying is Matthew Dellavedova is not a superstar. You know, he's a probably backup, maybe third string point guard at best, you know. But my point is that those other sports outside of NFL are more player-driven leagues because they don't wear helmets. You can see them. You know, they play more games, so they're on TV more as far as, you know, just being able to see who they are. And then, you know, them being involved with the media because they play more games, they're involved with the media a lot more. So I think that's one of the reasons why NFL players don't get as big contracts, you know. And that's why quarterbacks tend to get the biggest contracts because I think there's a few positions that you might be able to sell, and quarterback is one of those because win, lose, or draw, quarterbacks are always in front of the media. You know, if you think about most teams, regardless of how good their quarterback is, almost every Sunday they're going to talk about the quarterback matchup in the newspaper, on Twitter, or any social media site. So I think that's why quarterbacks get most of the money in the NFL, and that's why in the NBA, because, you know, guys are a little bit more visible. It's a more star-driven league. You know, think about it. If Michael Jordan played for the Sixers and the Sixers sucked, he still watched the Sixers. You know, but you can be a hero in the NFL, and nobody – I don't know what Malcolm Butler looks like, and he won the NFL. The guy who caught the interception against the Seahawks a few years ago in the Super Bowl for the Patriots. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what he looked like. But they won, you know, he made a big play in the Super Bowl. But if there was a guy in the NBA, you would know who he is. I mean, you know who Harrison Bourne is, Bryce Young, all these players, you know who they are. But you don't know who a lot more. I would say you probably wouldn't recognize 95% of the players in the NFL. But that's my piece of the pie. Last thing real quick, last couple minutes. Kevin Durant, free agent. I think Kevin Durant should go to the Warriors. I'm biased. Absolutely not biased. He goes back to the Thunder. Do I think the Thunder will win the championship? I definitely think they'll be in a better position to win it this upcoming season. They will be in a better position to win the championship this season than they were last season. But I think the biggest advantage that the Warriors give him is I think the Warriors can help extend his career and extend the time frame that he has to which his team and he individually is playing at a high level because of the way that they run the offense, because of the fact that you got Steph, Clay, Draymond Green, other guys who are top-tier talents in the NBA. They can shoot it. They can pass it. They play defense. They share the ball. That'll make Kevin Durant's career, his ability to source and need will be highlighted, and he'll have to work a lot less harder because you have guys who are willing passers, who understand how to set each other up and play off of one another. When Klay Thompson's high, Steph Curry don't have no problem letting Klay do his thing. Vice versa, same thing with Draymond Green. So I think I would say he should go to Golden State. It'll extend his career. I think they'll be good for a lot longer. And I think that if he went to Golden State, you could talk about a historically great team as opposed to if he go to Oklahoma City, they might win the title, they might not. But thank y'all for your time. Make sure you tune in next week. Appreciate the support. Tell a friend. Y'all have a good weekend. Talk that talk. Happy 4th of July. Peace.